warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'm the Bob Inyart part.
Yes, and I'm Doug McBurney. Thanks for allowing me in the studio again. I just want to thank you, Bob, for being the glass half full influence in my life.
Oh, wow.
Because I was listening to your show yesterday.
Yeah.
And you talked about how the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has announced publicly that they will no longer fund abortion.
Yeah.
And you had a very positive take on that.
Well, yeah, because even though they're liars, they've been putting in tens of millions of dollars, over $10 million a year to kill kids for all these years.
Oh, yeah.
And they've said this kind of thing in the past, but it still helps. We can still use it because it highlights the fact that there's social tension over child killing.
Amen.
You think Planned Parenthood wants them to say abortion is a very difficult issue, we struggle with it, and we will not publicly, we will not fund abortion?
No, that's not what Planned Parenthood wants to hear.
No, they want to hear every company is proud to fund abortion.
Absolutely.
So even though they give it under the table or even though they give it openly, it's still good that it highlights the social tension over child killing.
It reminds us of the days back in the olden days when people used to try to cover up their sinful nature.
Yes.
I thought maybe that was gone forever, but maybe the social tension around personhood and the killing of innocent children is leading the wicked.
Well, hopefully that, because that's all that'll end child killing. It's not going to be that the majority now love God. I mean, that's not the game plan.
Well, that would be nice, but it's
that'd be
unlikely.
Tremendous, right? And that's why we evangelize, to get each individual to turn, soften their heart,
amen,
trust in Jesus Christ. But it's when Jesus was on earth for 33 years, 3 years in a full-time public ministry, and the end result was crucify him, crucify him.
That's right. And he healed the sick and raised the dead.
Yeah, and entire cities hated him.
Yeah.
The cities where he did most of those miracles.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
Like Chorazin and Capernaum and Bethsaida. Jesus cursed those cities because he did most of his miracles there, and the cities hated him.
Yeah.
Nazareth, they tried to kill him, throw him off the cliff.
That's right.
We've gone to that cliff right there in Nazareth. You could go today.
Yes.
Scary cliff.
Wow.
The end game is not, we're going to stop the killing of Jews, we're going to stop owning blacks, we're going to stop dismembering babies by getting everyone to love God. That's not a rational end game.
Yeah.
If that was it, Jesus failed.
Well, and that's...
Right. The end game is we are going to obey God, and we are going to do what we can to teach his word, and when people try to hurt the innocent, we're going to make it as difficult as we can for them to do that.
And we've apparently made Melinda Gates somewhat uncomfortable. At
somewhat.
Least enough. Yeah, which is...
Enough to lie.
Well, we hope not. We hope she's sincere. We hope she's had some kind of conversion experience.
I mean, that would be great, but no, evidence is
evidence
all against
is
it.
Just overwhelming.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I did on my show was I reported on how many children she's actively participated in
killing.
And called her a liar. I'm such a jaded pessimist anymore.
No, she is a liar.
Yeah.
She's a lying child.
But I appreciate you showing the light that was in the story that I missed.
Well.
It was, yes, it made me feel a lot better about
it. It's the social tension over child killing
that
eventually will end it, unless the Lord returns in the meantime.
Then that'll end it, really.
Because that's what ended slavery.
That's right, social tension.
It's not that all of a sudden all these U.S. senators loved black people.
No.
Was that it? Was that what ended it?
I don't think so. Strom Thurmond was a member of the Ku Klux Klan in the 20th century, so I don't think that.
In England, was it that the Parliament finally... Everybody invited a black family to live with them out of their guilt.
I don't think that's...
Was that it? No, it was because of William Wilberforce and Christians who were crazy like us.
Somewhat, yeah.
Increasing, not just ignoring it like the typical pulpit,
mm-hmm,
but increasing social tension over child killing. If you kill one child, we're going to try to make you miserable.
Absolutely.
And you better repent.
Speaking of social tension, Hillary Clinton's book tour is going on.
Yeah.
And that's elevating social tension all over the country. because everyone realizes that she's just a big fat liar.
Right.
And not even a very nice person, not even likable.
Well, I found out they were poor when they went in the White House, when they left, so I realized, hey, maybe I could vote for them. Maybe I could reconsider.
She was poor. I forget what her book advance was. I think she had
$8 million.
$3 million?
Was it? Am I wrong on $8 million?
Well, let's say it was $3 million.
I heard $8 million on Fox, so that's probably wrong.
I heard $3 million. 70%. Either way, you don't qualify as poor if you have more than.
He made $400,000 a year. She made over $300,000 a year while they were in the White House.
Yeah, well, but it's expensive to live in Washington, D.C.
They had all their expenses, right? Did they have to pay rent?
No, they didn't.
To live in the White House?
Nope.
Did they have to buy food, health care?
I think they did have to buy their own food. I believe the president has to buy his. No?
They got a chef. They got an army of chefs.
Wow.
He doesn't know. If somebody would have asked Clinton paper or plastic during a debate, he would have had no idea what they were talking about. Where are you? If they say paper or plastic, where are you? He would have had, they were making fun of George Bush. He didn't know how much a gallon of milk was.
He didn't know what the scanner was.
Clinton wouldn't know where he was if they said paper or plastic.
No. So that's not the half of it. Now, Hillary Clinton has built a career as a crusader for women and children.
Yeah.
You mentioned something on yesterday's show that I think deserves broader coverage because I haven't heard it. I heard a snippet on Fox News last night.
Yeah.
I heard a snippet of this very revealing interview from the 1980s.
Yeah.
Where Hillary talks about her law practice.
Yeah. 30 years ago. And I think her guard was down because this is a friendly interview.
Yeah.
And she was trying to focus on some of the particulars to say that, hey, I didn't do much criminal law, but I did some. In fact, the one case, I really did a good job.
Yes.
And she's talking about it, and it turns out she helped a rapist to basically walk away.
Yeah.
To get away with his crime.
Mm-hmm. Because she's a lawyer.
Pretty horrific, huh?
It's awful.
So, but she's a champion of women and children.
Before you go any further, I just want a report, an interview in the New York Times yesterday. They asked Hillary what book it made you who you are today. If you had to name just one book, what book made you who you are today? And Hillary said, quote, at the risk of appearing predictable, the Bible was and remains the biggest influence on my thinking.
The Bible.
The Bible, she says.
Yeah, the big lie, right? You tell the big lie,
and if you can do it,
at least half of the people will believe it.
And if you can do it with a straight face,
when
you'll
she said at the risk of being predictable, right?
Right there.
What she meant by that was, now so many people know I'm a liar, and they're going to expect me to lie right at this moment. So at the risk of being predictable and lying, I'm going to go ahead and lie.
I'm just going to do it.
The Bible.
I'm going to do it with a straight face.
It's the big lie. You tell the big lie. You tell a little lie, it might be hard to get away with it.
You might not be able to pull that off.
But the big lie.
Now, Hillary says, this is yesterday. This is not 1982 or whenever these tapes were made. Yesterday, she told the New York Times that she still finds the Bible a source of wisdom, comfort, and encouragement. Still.
Especially the part that says that homosexuals should be put to death. She has that highlighted.
I'm not sure if that's wisdom, comfort, or encouragement.
Well,
she has three color highlighters that she used, some for wisdom, some for comfort, and some for encouragement.
What would that be?
I'm not sure. It would be highlighted in pink, probably, highlighter. But
it would have to be pink.
I would think.
So in Leviticus, it says that they should be put to death.
It does.
That's the old testament.
Who's the Christian Coalition guy? What's his name?
Pat Robertson?
The little Hecubus looking guy.
Ralph Reed.
Ralph Reed told Bill Maher.
Oh,
Bill,
makes
you,
me want to.
He said, Bill, you've got a problem with the God of the Old Testament.
Makes me want to throw up.
You're not quoting the New Testament.
Well, the New Testament tells us that murder, homosexuality, kidnapping, That's what the law is for because of people who commit these crimes.
That's the New Testament. We're going to have to copy that and send it over to Ralph Reed.
Oh, wait a minute. That's in 1 Timothy. That's the Old Testament. Sorry. That's in 1 Timothy. That's
probably,
in Paul's epistle to Timothy.
Now, you could probably get that by Ralph Reed, but Bill Maher would catch you on that.
He would
say, that is the New Testament.
He would. And then the book of Romans, which
tells
us that those who commit such vile acts as a man who uses a man as though it's a woman, they are worthy of death.
That's Romans. That's
Romans.
That's the
which
pinnacle.
Is also in the Old Testament.
Romans is the we pinnacle keep, of the New Testament.
We keep quoting these Old Testament
Romans
sources.
Is the treatise of the New Testament as yeah. written by Paul, and yeah. it's in there.
And so you find out in Corinthians and Romans and Timothy.
Yeah.
And Jesus also warned against sexual immorality. He said that God made us, the human race, God made us male and female.
From the beginning.
At the beginning of the creation, not after millions of years like the gap theory yeah. or the day age theory or whatever.
It's all in there.
Yeah.
Yes. And you could just open it up. Hillary, so, just open it up at Genesis and
so,
start there.
So Hillary, yeah.
Anyway, so she says
she'll
still
get the Sodom and Gomorrah right off the bat.
That's right. That comes right
there
in Genesis.
So she talked about these three colors, highlighters, but she left out her scissors. She didn't mention the scissors
she uses. Her scissors a lot more than her highlighter.
Yeah, or just her nails or her fangs. Either way, you could excise the text.
All right, now, so before we get to Hillary, and we're going to have to move quickly because we are rapidly running out of time.
Because we want to hear all this from Hillary and then comment on it.
I want to hear this. But we can't let the week go into the books without acknowledging that it was 20 years ago this week that the whole O.J. chase and the capture of O.J. and the trial didn't
the
start.
Disguise.
The disguise, yes.
The O.J. bought so much evidence never made it into the trial.
Well, the murder happened.
The trial was
The murder happened 20 years ago this week. And yeah. in the bloody yeah. footprints, the blood here, the blood there, the blood everywhere.
Right. His blood.
His blood, their blood mingled in his car, his house,
they
their
even
house.
Know which they even knew which side of his body he would have his deep cut on.
Yeah.
Because as the murderer walked, leaving the bloody footprints, there are the drops of blood.
Which were OJ's blood.
Right.
If you believe in DNA, I know it's a bit fantastical, and 20 years ago people were still very confused about DNA, yeah. apparently, at least in this case.
Too much Perry Mason.
It was unbelievable. Bob, that was a turning point in my life, was wow. that trial. At my yeah. shop where we worked.
You and I went out to L.A. afterward.
Oh, yeah.
But that was a turning point? Why?
Well, at my shop, the whole shop stopped when the verdict came, and we had a little black yeah. and white TV.
Yeah, the whole country stopped.
We gathered around.
The earth stopped turning.
And there was a noticeable immediate division in the room. A division amongst those who wanted to throw up
yeah.
and those who seemed happy yeah. about it. And I realized right then there's a major battle going on yeah. for the soul of the world.
Do you remember the attorney from New Orleans who called into the show maybe the night of the verdict? She said, I was working in court and the whole courtroom in New Orleans shut down the
yeah.
parish.
Yeah.
Everybody stopped to wait for the news. Mm-hmm. And the courthouse, you could hear it ringing out from every courtroom, every floor, in wild applause when he was acquitted.
Right.
And she said the same thing. It made her sick to her stomach.
Yeah.
So when we went out to L.A. to purchase at auction O.J.'s memorabilia and then burn the stuff the next day at high noon on the steps of the L.A. courthouse,
yeah.
She was one of the, we had 10 people there.
Yeah.
And we had an attorney with us.
That's right.
We had a priest, a rabbi, an attorney. No, we had all the pieces we needed.
We had everyone we needed.
To
yeah.
take over the city.
Yeah. It's
so funny, Doug, because we went, I mean, Bob and Yurt Live, a radio program in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
We went, and for 24 hours, it was like we took over L.A.
It was great. Everybody was watching us. And you had the opportunity to stand up in front of 10 or 15
and
TV cameras.
Preach the gospel. And
preach an effective condemnation of the justice system alongside a very effective presentation of the gospel. It was amazing.
So, and I liked when we were leaving our hotel and we had to get, you know, two or three taxis lined up. And we got to hurry up because half the media in the city is there at the courthouse waiting for us.
For our self-imposed deadline of high noon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we were flagging down the taxi cabs, and we have our ShadowGov T-shirts on, all black. And I remember saying to the taxi cab driver, hey, buddy, do you know where? And he said, oh, I know where the courthouse is. I mean, what do you mean you know where the courthouse is? I've seen you on TV. I know where you're going.
Yeah.
Get in. We'll get you there.
That was great.
So it's like the whole city was cheering, not the whole city, but so many were so thankful that we were going to destroy OJ's stuff.
Yeah, especially the cops and a number of the judges there at the courthouse. They were quite happy with it. Anyway, it was an awful turning point in America, but it was a turning point in my life, and I think for a lot of people who realized that the battle is on and there are real enemies out there who celebrate injustice.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking, and one of them being Hillary Clinton.
Yes, so Hillary, it turns out Bill Clinton is not the first man that Hillary helped to escape punishment for rape.
That's right.
Right? She did that for her husband.
In the case of Juanita Broderick, she stood by her man.
Oh, yeah.
And
mocking the women who were sexually assaulted by her husband, calling them bimbo eruptions.
Yeah.
I mean, taking the women who are victimized by powerful white men.
Bill Clinton.
In positions of authority.
Yeah.
From governor to president. And he would sexually assault women, even to the point of raping Juanita Broderick.
Well, the New York Times said it was credible evidence that a rape, in fact, occurred.
Well, wait. Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal
editorial said when you look at when you speak to the contemporaneous witnesses, you realize that this rape was an event that, in fact, took place. They did not say allegedly. They said Bill Clinton, in fact, raped Juanita Broderick. That's how strong the evidence is.
And to Hillary, it was just another bimbo eruption.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the evidence, Doug, when we went to the opening of his presidential library in Little Rock, we pretty much took over that city and the state. I mean, the state historian who was making the official record of the opening of the Clinton Library sought us out and said, could I get one of your yellow flyers for the official report?
Oh.
And the yellow flyers that we handed out, thousands of, had the complete case, all the evidence that Bill Clinton is a rapist.
Yeah, so that's on his permanent record.
Yeah, and his supporters, like Hillary, his supporters were saying Juanita deserved it. Any woman would deserve it. Mm. Juanita's lucky to be raped by Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
That's the Democratic feminist defense of a child killer like Bill Clinton.
And so you referenced in yesterday's broadcast a tape.
Yes.
That I've seen reports of it.
How much did you hear of it on Fox?
I heard one snippet where she chuckled about the lie detector test.
Yeah, because she knew this 41-year-old guy had raped a 12-year-old girl.
She knew it.
The evidence was not only did they have, you know, the typical evidence, but then they had his underwear with the girl's blood on his underwear.
Yeah.
So, and she was able to get him to be released with time served because they processed the underwear, the crime lab. And back then, they needed a lot of evidence. Yeah. Today, they need a few cells.
Right.
So
she got him off on a technicality, basically.
Yeah, totally. Right, exactly.
Let's hear.
It's very hard to hear, but we have a crack engineering staff.
Wow.
And they did clean up the audio. It's very hard to hear, but this is the best quality you will hear anywhere.
You're saying a while ago you've done some criminal work. Can you tell me a little about that? What sort of?
I didn't do much, but I taught criminal law, criminal procedure courses. I did some, I never did a criminal trial. I did, jury trial. I did. Probable cause hearings and other cases. And I had some really tough clients. I had one appear that the prosecutor called me years ago and said that he had a guy who was accused of rape, and the guy wanted a woman lawyer.
Stop the tape. So we'll stop it a few times as we go along. So first of all, she says, I never did any criminal law, but I taught criminal law. That's typical for a liberal, right? You could be the president of the United States, and all you've done up to that point is you're a community organizer. So I never did criminal law, but I taught it, of course.
And she said, I never did a criminal trial.
Right.
So she was
never had a jury trial. She speaks with a southern drawl.
She was affecting the Arkansas drawl at that point.
Yes, she was good at it. Yeah. But, because that's what they needed to win.
Sure.
The governor's
had to relate to the people.
Yeah. But, Doug, she does say the prosecutor called me because this guy who's accused of rape, he wanted a woman attorney to help him get acquitted.
And would I do him a favor?
Sure I would. Hey, it might help my career to get a rapist to get away with the crime.
You know, a lot of times public defenders are just assigned to cases and they have to defend the lowest of the low.
Yeah, but
Hillary,
she volunteered
doing a
for this.
Favor for a friend.
That's really awesome.
You remember that case where I represented that guy? It was a fascinating case. It was really an interesting case. This guy was accused of raping a 12-year-old. He was the daughter of the family he was living in Springfield. He lived on the side of the tracks in Springfield. And the guy was from Green Forest. His family still had a little farm. But he was one of these ruthless folks who wasn't going to make a living on the land, and he was kind of around. Ended up in Springdale looking one of the places over there. Of course, he claimed that he didn't do all this stuff. He took a lie detector test. I had to take a polygraph, which he passed, which forever destroyed my faith in polygraphs.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. So he took a lie detector test. He passed. And she said, I knew then it didn't work because he's obviously guilty.
And she chuckled about it.
Yeah, laughed about it. And that helped her
kind of creepy.
Get him acquitted. Yeah. I mean, virtually acquitted. All right, let's continue.
But, you know, what was sad about it was that the prosecutors had evidence, among which was his underwear.
His what?
His underwear, which was bloody. Sent down to the crime lab for those efforts to reform the crime lab. Took the pair of underpants, neatly cut out the part that they were going to test, tested it, came back with the result of what kind of blood it was, what was mixed in with it, then sent the pants back with the hole in it for evidence. So I got an order to see the evidence, and the prosecutor didn't want me to see the evidence. I had to go to Moffitt Cummings and convince Moffitt that, yes, indeed, I had a right to see the evidence before it was presented. We had presented these underpants with a hole in it. I said, what kind of evidence is that? You know, you've got a pair of underpants with a hole in it. Of course, the crime lab had thrown away the piece that they cut out. It was really awful. I mean, I plea bargained it down because it turned out they didn't have any evidence. But I happened to be going to New York, and I took the underpants with me. I got special court orders.
Stop the tape, or maybe let it keep rolling. Just put the volume down for a minute.
Ooh,
so, Doug, she said they threw away the evidence. I doubt they threw away the evidence.
No, they didn't throw it away. They tested it.
They cut out little specks of blood. It's not like the underwear had a pool of blood in it. There's some specks of blood from the poor victim. They cut out those specks to test it, and then there's nothing left.
Right. These are destructive tests.
But they turn out, yeah. So the victim, the evidence they had, the powerful evidence was the blood evidence. It wasn't his blood, obviously.
Apparently.
It was the blood type of the victim with his fluids mixed in.
Right.
And so the crime lab, that's it. They used the evidence to figure out whose blood it was.
And I'm sure there was a report from the crime lab that said.
Of course.
But she got it all.
So Hillary mocks the crime lab by saying those buffoons, they had evidence and they threw it all away. So let's hear the rest.
Brooklyn, where this man's name I now cannot remember, who had shared in the Nobel Prize for his work on the RH factor and was one of the real premier investigators in the field of blood. He had retired from Sloan Kettering or someplace up there. He still lived in the same house where his father had been born, and now he had a huge fence around it. I mean, it was sort of in this bombed out section of Brooklyn. And he had taken a real interest in forensic work. And so he would analyze blood stains if he got interested in a case. So
the, all right, let's the click a minute ahead. Hillary's too slow and too boring.
And
click a minute ahead.
And you can't prove anything. I mean, you can't even see a slight trace, but it wouldn't be enough to test. So I went back and told Maitland Gibson that I had, I can't remember his name, but I cut out who's who, and I've done all this stuff, and I handed it to Maitland Gibson. I said, well, this guy's ready to come from New York, prevent this miscarriage of justice.
It's a miscarriage of justice.
So I went before Moffitt Cummings to present the plea. And Moffitt said, what is this?
Pause the tape. Let's stop the tape. So, Doug, it's a miscarriage of justice. They're going to convict this rapist of victimizing this 12-year-old girl when they used up the evidence?
Unbelievable.
Oh, I could win this one with my eyes closed.
Wow.
So, all right, let's hear the end.
First degree rape. And, but, he was dropping the charge, something. So Moffitt had to, under law, he was supposed to determine whether the plea was factually supported. Moffitt asked me to leave the room while he examined my client so that he could find out his factual score. I said, Judge, I can't leave the room. I'm his lawyer. So I know, but I want to talk about this in front of you.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah. So that was Moffitt. He had a lot of fun with
Moffitt.
But anyway, I did some of that.
How did it turn out?
He plea bargained. He got him off. Was time served in the county jail. He'd been in the county jail about 2 months.
All right. Notice what she said. He plea bargained. No, she plea bargained.
Yeah, she plea bargained.
She helped him to walk after time served in the county jail, a rapist whose victim was a 12-year-old girl. He was 41 years old.
Yeah, she did the deal. She was down at the crossroads, and she did the deal with the devil. Literally,
yeah.
Right,
so
there. How appropriate that this tape comes out during the 20th anniversary of O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
You know, another case in which the evidence was overwhelming.
Right.
The evidence should have condemned.
And it doesn't matter because there's criminal justice system. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system.
Yeah.
And Hillary she's an enemy of the child, an enemy of the family. Mm. She helps men use women sexually and discard them. So when her husband raped Juanita Broderick, when she heard that on Judgment Day, when Hillary's there, and we're all there listening, will we all find out that she knew very well that her husband raped Juanita Broderick? Of course she knew.
Yeah. Well, some people might find that out. Some people might already know that.
Well, yeah.
Some people's sins precede them.
To judgment.
To judgment.
And the sins of others follow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's from that
Hillary's
Old Testament book of 1 Timothy.
Hillary's going to have both kinds because we're probably going to find out some
other all stuff. Kinds of stuff. But I think we're going to find out that she knew that her husband raped Juanita Broderick.
Yeah.
She knew that she's known that he has been a womanizer and abusing women the whole time she's known him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and there you have it.
All right, Doug.
Now it's received proper airing. I appreciate it, Bob.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for joining me in studio. Bob and you live our website, kgov.com. We have a brand new video on the global flood and the hydroplate theory. You could download it or get it from us, Blu-ray. God bless.